I want to mention this before we get started into our text today. There is a show on NBC called The Chosen. If you've never seen it, I highly recommend it. If you don't have cable, like I don't, you can download the Peacock app, which is NBC's streaming service, and get a free subscription. You got to watch some ads every now and again, but the show is based on the life of Christ. And it's set kind of in that kind of area. And the actors that play all the different parts are extremely kind of accurate to the actual heritage that Jesus had. And it's just phenomenal. I love it. I've been binge watching the first season the past couple of days. And so whenever Maddie comes out of her room and she has her iPad or playing with toys, she goes, "Oh, the God Show." And then she goes back to her room. So it's really, really good. So I've really appreciated that this week to kind of discover that and to kind of watch a little bit of it, because it's the stories that you already know, the sayings that you're already familiar with, but it's kind of when you see it being acted out in a very non-cheesy way, it's kind of a refreshing kind of reminder of, oh yeah, they never heard these things before. And it was just kind of mind-blowing how different his teachings were compared to what the Pharisees were. And you see the Pharisees, and it's kind of interesting to see what they would be wearing and so on. So anyway, a plug for them for free is to go watch that show, The Chosen. Very, very good. Let's turn to Luke chapter 18 this morning. We spent some time discussing the role of certain parts of the church, certain functions of what we do. We encourage each other. We, sometimes correct or rebuke each other to make sure we're on the straight and narrow, if you will. But one more of those things that we do as Christians because of what Christ taught is the idea of communication with the divine. It's a very fancy way to say we pray. We've done it a couple times today, hopefully. We've been led in prayer anyway. And so communication with the divine is one of those things that we're curious about how that works, how it functions. How does God simultaneously in his place hear all of us together individually, but also collectively? How does it all work? And I have no idea. But the idea of how we are to pray and with what mindset and with what words, we have some insight based on the teachings of Christ. In Luke chapter 18, we have three moments in which we find communication with the divine or prayer being discussed or actually taking place. And I want to look at these three together with you because they show us something very special about the way in which we pray or talk to the divine. So in Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 1, let's begin reading. "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart." This is the ESV I'm reading from up here. So a parable was a throw alongside of, literally from the Greek word. But the idea here is you're casting alongside of a spiritual truth, an illustration, or a story. And in fact, in that show I was talking about before, whenever he begins a parable, he begins with, "Let me tell you a story." So it's kind of interesting how that kind of happens here. So in verse 2, here's the parable. Here's the story. He said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man." Probably the worst judge you could find. I mean, if you don't care about God and don't care about people, why are you a judge to begin with, right? Here's someone who is supposed to give out justice to make sure that that which takes place is right and fair in this city. Verse 3, "And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.'" So in the contrast here in this world, remember that you had a widow who was a person who lost their spouse. And in this particular context, here's a widow with little power and likely little money that has a huge problem. She has an adversary or an enemy, and she wants justice. So she kept coming to the judge who didn't care about God and didn't care about people. So the worst judge. Verse 4, "For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.'" Which is great how the ESV renders that. The actual Greek there is "burden me into being borne like a heavy backpack, pushing you down into the ground almost, being pressed down. "And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. So he didn't want to help this widow, but the widow kept coming to the judge for help. And she was bothering him and bothering him and bothering him and bothering him. And now me saying bothering him would be bothering you, right? It's repetitive. It's time and time again. And he was so annoyed by her coming for justice, he just gave her what she wanted to be done with it. So here's how Jesus uses that story. The Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" And so we see this story of a very, very annoying widow. And she got what she wanted because she kept asking for it. And the contrast here is pretty clear. Jesus is saying, if the judge gave her what she wanted because she kept asking for it, but he didn't care about her, didn't care about the other adversary, didn't care about God, how much more will God, who loves us as our Heavenly Father, give us what we require when we ask of him? The saints that cry out all day and all night. When we have a need and we lift up that need in prayer to God, the Lord wants to give us those things that will help us in the end. And so the first story here, the first kind of little section, tells us very clearly that perseverance, or persistence, you might say, in prayer is a positive attribute. Sometimes it's good for us to just have a prayer, say what we need, and then move on. But I'm sure we've all had that moment where something is really bothering us. We have a need in our life, something is really giving us trouble, and we want the Lord to help us. It's good for us to know that when we ask it, how many ever times we ask of our Heavenly Father, he wants to give us those things that are most beneficial to us. So be persistent in our prayers is one lesson we learn from Jesus. We keep reading here, verses 9 through 14. Here's our second chunk of the text that deals with the idea of communication with the divine. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Now, I'm just so glad that we as Christians today don't have this problem. We don't have people who are self-righteous. It's just great. If we moved on, we got past it, our ego's out of the way, we all know we're in the same boat. I say it, and some folks get the joke. Some folks are looking at me because you have no idea what I'm talking about. Sometimes, if we're not careful, if we're not on the lookout, we can either be this way or be perceived this way. So it's very important for us to know that, yes, though we can be righteous in the blood of Jesus Christ, we shouldn't treat anybody else with contempt, right? Not helpful. Let's keep reading. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, and the other, a tax collector. Now again, my last reference to the show. When you see the dynamic of the culture dealing with a person who worked for Rome to collect taxes, versus the Pharisees, this is a very interesting dynamic here. Here you have someone who is a set-apart one, who's so special, they're not even Jewish anymore, they're a Pharisee. They're in a class above everybody else because they're teachers of the law. They're the ones you go to get the answers. If you want the law or if you want tradition, they'll give it to you both. Those are the Pharisees, the religious elite of the day. And then you have the people that were Jewish, but they were taking money from their fellow kinsmen and giving it to a controlling empire named Rome. The worst of the worst in that culture. Traitors. These two folks went to the temple to pray, talk to the divine. The Pharisee, standing by himself because they're set apart ones, prayed this way, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithe of all that I get. look at that prayer again. There's something that kind of stands out. Hopefully you already see what it is. This prayer is all about himself, how great he is compared to others. And of course, the point in verse 9 was there were folks that thought they were righteous and they treated others with contempt. The Pharisee is one of those people in this story. Verse 13, here's the contrast. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. One of the things that I forget often when it comes to my communication with the divine, my prayer life, is who I'm talking to. You can get really comfortable in a relationship with God if you're not careful. It's a good thing to have a very close friendship, relationship, servant-like behavior when communicating with the Creator of all. It's a very wonderful thing that we get through the person of Jesus. But there also is something to kind of remind me who I'm talking to. The person that made everything that has ever been and everything that will ever be. The one that made me in his image. The one who knows me on the inside more than I even know myself. The one who loves me so much, he sent his perfect son Jesus down to this earth to give us this teaching. But ultimately to die so that I don't have to die in the end. That's the God I'm talking to. And if I forget who I'm talking to, it's easier for me to stand up straight, pretend to look God in the eye, and talk about how great I am. The story, the parable is given to remind us when you're talking to God, remember your position. You don't have to keep beating yourself up about it. He's given us a way out of sin for sure through his son. But don't forget our position before a holy and just God, because we are not holy and we are not just. Verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, forgiven, rather than the other, because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, which is just, right? That's what justice looks like. If someone needs to be humbled, the judge is going to humble them. But also, the one who humbles himself will be exalted or lifted up. So the second idea, if you will, in communication with the divine, not only persistence or perseverance, whatever word you prefer, but also humility, remembering who we are in light of a holy and just God. None of us are perfect. So again, to lift ourselves, whatever. There is a lesson, trust me, in 15, 16, 17. Really, that's what we're talking about here in this context. We have an individual who's coming to the divine one, God in the flesh, Jesus, and he has a question. So he is communicating with the divine. He's praying in a way by asking this question. Verse 18, and a ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Which is a really weird question, if you just stop and think about it. He calls him good teacher. He's teaching good things, one would think. Good news is kind of implied there. He says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What a strange way to ask that. Inherit eternal life. But I've got to do something to maybe earn it. What checks do I have to make sure are there in those right boxes to make sure I'm good enough to get that eternal life you're talking about? Well, immediately, Christ begins to correct the question. Verse 19, he said, why do you call me good? No one's good except God alone. So he kind of says, I'm not the good one. God is the good one. So the emphasis is now placed in the right place. Verse 20, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness or lie, we would say, and honor your father and mother. Those are most of them. Those are all the important ones, right? Of the 10 that are mentioned specifically. He says, all these I have kept from my youth, which is great. What he's saying here is, I know all the checks that are supposed to be there, and I've done all those things. I'm a good enough person to inherit eternal life. Is that all? If we keep reading, when Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Only one thing. Sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. You know, I've never caught that until now. He was trying to disciple this guy. He called him and said, yeah, you're on the right path. Are you ready for the next step? If you want to do this thing to inherit eternal life, it's going to require of you specifically, sell those things that you treasure so much, give to those that don't have anything, and then sacrifice your life to come follow me. The one thing he was lacking was he wasn't willing to give up himself to follow Jesus, which is a bit different than just saying he's greedy, right? The way I've always read this before has always been he's just greedy. He likes money more than he likes God or whatever. It's very surface level, which is most of my reading. But the real lack that he had was he wasn't willing to give up himself. Let's keep reading. When he heard these things, he became very sad because he was extremely rich. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Give up who you are, come follow me. And he said, no. Did he really want eternal life? We look at this and put ourselves in the perspective of looking back 2,000 years ago and saying, no, he didn't really have what it took to follow Christ. He didn't have enough to give up to inherit eternal life. And then I ask myself, have I given up enough? Not saying that I have to sell all my possessions, but I do have to get rid of myself from the equation and follow Christ. If I want to inherit eternal life, what do I have to do? I have to be a slave of God. I have to be able to be like Jesus and follow in his footsteps. And if I'm not willing to do that because of myself, I'm not going to be there either. Let's keep reading. Jesus, seeing that he had become sad. Can you imagine the moment Christ says, okay, you want eternal life? Sell what you have, give to the poor, come follow me. You can be a follower right now. And you get sad about that. Face drops. I don't want to follow. I just want to do enough good stuff to earn it. How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Because it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard it, so those folks that heard that reaction to his wealth, then who can be saved? He said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Now, I love it. Here's our bro, Peter. Peter, always speaking up, said, see, we have left our homes and followed you. We did what that guy wouldn't do. Verse 29, he said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life. If you're making sacrifices, if you're denying self, if you're giving up I to be able to follow Christ, know that you have a credit building experience in the spiritual realm. You have Christ who's aware of you denying yourself and following him anyway. So in communication with the divine, we have perseverance or persistence. We have humility. We have obedience to what the Lord tells us to do. And then finally, we have a reward waiting for us at the end. This is just one small little section of the teachings of Christ and what he has been sent to this earth to teach us, which we are still teaching each other, what God requires when we talk to him in prayer. If we have anyone who has a need for us to lift up your name before our Heavenly Father this morning, if we can be persistent and be humble and be obedient and know the reward is waiting for us by anything that's happening in your life, please give us the opportunity to pray for you by responding, by coming forward as we stand and we sing.